Yeah, you hear the music, baby.
Oh,
that made me back.
Go hey. On.
That
go
made me back. That hey, made
yeah.
me back. Who is it? It's me and Mac. Hey.
Yeah. You think you got the bars?
You know what I'm saying? We is back. We is back to wrap up a hell of a year that we had in wrestling. 2021. It's over. It's gone. We're into 2022. And it is just, we are kicking this thing off the right way. And we got to start off by giving our condolences to all the people that died in 2021. Give a big rest in peace to all the people that we lost. You know,
absolutely.
The New Jacks, the Daphnes, you know what I'm saying? The
thank
Jimmy Rays, the Betty Whites, the Sidney Poitiers,
Bob
Sagetts, you know what I'm saying? We got to give our condolences, thanks for the memories, and a big rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? Brody Lee.
That was 2020.
I'm just saying. Oh. I just saw a picture of him. I just saw a picture of him, and it just broke
yeah.
me back. I'm just saying. But
I get you.
Yeah, RIP, man, to all the people that we lost. You know what I'm saying? And it's time to look back on this year that we had. Oh, what a year, Gunner.
Yeah, what a
year,
man.
The roller coasters, the ups, the downs, the coronaviruses, the vaccines, the dead arms.
It's been a year, man. It's been quite a year. Things are, I feel like we're working on things getting back normal, but we're still pretty far away, you know.
I mean.
Things are still pretty haywire and everything.
Yeah, I just got into the mentality that it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, we either just gonna live with it or
we just gotta yeah. do our best to keep everybody safe though.
You
that
know
should
what I'm
be
saying?
The biggest that's the biggest concern.
I just, you know, I'm just like it's whatever at this point. What are you gonna do? So we got some things to get into about how good last year was. And let's start off with, like, big returns.
All right.
The big comebacks. I mean, we had some big comebacks last year. And we had the Beckys. She came back from having a baby. We had the CM Punks.
Yeah.
New companies emerge. You know, the comebacks of MLW and AEW started to rise, and GCW was rising up. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had big comebacks. And I want to give comeback of the year to my man, Edge. I mean, this guy had a hell of a run in 2020. That was one of the biggest. That was the comeback of the year, 2020. Anyway, for that Royal Rumble comeback.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
But when this man got hurt at the greatest wrestling match ever, and makes a comeback at the Royal Rumble again, but this time he wins it, and he goes on to shine a light on the NXT champion, the Universal champion, WWE champion. Like, you never know where he was gonna go to. You never know what he was gonna do with it. Has a amazing triple threat at Mania. You know what I'm saying? Does like this great stretch. I mean, this man just had a hell of a year. Hell of a year. And it was I mean, he really cemented himself as a legend this year.
And this has definitely been my favorite run of Edge in a while. Because I feel like this year he proved that he isn't going to have this part-timer status. He's not going to do these matches every so often and then, you know, just come back for the big matches. You know, he does the Royal Rumble. He does matches on SmackDown. He does matches for house shows. He does smaller pay-per-views. Edge has been all over the place in WWE this year, having the feud of the year, in my opinion, with Seth Rollins this year. Like, Edge has really made a statement this year that his tank is not empty, and this man can still go with the best of them.
Man, I mean, he's still doing it right now, having a run with The Miz and Maurice.
Yeah, they're going to be at the Royal Rumble.
So are we.
Yep. Yeah. But for comeback of the year for me, I'm going to take a different route. My comeback of the year is Taylor Wilde. I used to watch Impact back in the day, faithfully, 2008, 2009. Oh, I remember Taylor Wilde from back then, and y'all liked her. She got a big win. She was the first person I could really think of it. Knocked off Awesome Kong except for Gail Kim. You know, she beat her for the belt. And then she retires from wrestling in like 2011, 2012. And it makes her return to the ring this year in 2021. And I'm telling you, I would not have thought that she would have spent 10 weeks away from a wrestling ring, let alone 10 years. Like, she was that good when she got back. She just, somehow, some way, she got the seasoned veteran is that she would have gotten
if she'd have stayed the whole time. Right,
if she'd been wrestling for the last 10 years. Like, and somehow, some way, she got that without wrestling for the last decade. I just don't see how she did that. And it's just incredible to me, man.
Yeah, Impact has had a hell of a comeback this year.
She's pretty great. And she had a pretty good run this year. You know, kept getting stopped and started and then stopped and started. You know,
I was really looking forward.
She
would disappear
for a little while. I don't know where she was going.
I was really looking forward to Taylor Wilde and Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah, that was the one that I wanted to see the most.
And we kind of got robbed of it.
Now, hopefully, what we will see, you know, she'll come back eventually, hopefully. And, you know, we'll get to see it.
Hopefully. We'll see what happens, though. That was a different route.
Yeah.
But we did have some great comebacks, but CM Punk had a great comeback this year.
He did. That was one of the big ones. That was the one that we just didn't think was going to happen. Like, we did not think, no matter what was happening in the wrestling world, that man would ever get back into it. And when he did, man, the internet just blew up, man. The roof blew off that place in Chicago the night he made his return.
Hey, it was electric. And I want to give a huge shout-out to Tony Khan for making one of my dreams come true and bringing back Red Dragon.
Yes! If you did not know, Red Dragon is possibly my favorite tag team of the last decade. Those two, they just work so well together. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. And a legendary run of Ring of Honor. Like, they went toe-to-toe with the Young Bucks at a time when the Young Bucks were basically untouchable in tag team wrestling outside the WWE. And Red Dragon took the fight to them. And a lot of people would say, myself included, that they're better than the Bucks. They were back then and they still are now. You know, I'm just hoping that at AEW it is legit Red Dragon. Love Adam Cole, but he's not a part of this team. He's not. This is not the UE, the Undisputed Era. This Red Dragon, man. We got to get back to
Dragon.
We got to get back to
Dragon. Well, he's got to make a choice because the Bucks and Red Dragon aren't seeming to get on the same page.
Well, I hope he picks the Bucks because I like the super click a lot too. So I like them more than I like the UE sometimes, to be honest with you.
I
hope he picks the Bucks.
With the WWE releases, yeah. Roderick Strong might be on that cuss real soon.
This ain't what I'm trying to say. This don't sit right with me, man. This don't sit right with me, Lois. This guy don't sit right with me. He don't sit right with me.
Jeez. Well, we'll jump into another category because we'll come back around because we'll be talking about the releases later on. Anyway, let's jump into the breakout star of the year. We had a lot of people who got who really came into their own and broke out into like for real superstars this year.
Quite a few of them.
I just gotta, you know, go straight into it and say that mine is Bianca Belair. Bianca won the Royal Rumble this year and just cemented herself and started this legacy run that was unstoppable all the way up until WWE had to make these last minute changes, which they always do and screw somebody up out of it.
That's absolutely true. I feel like they definitely did make a big start in Bianca Belair this year. And she's another one of those women outside the horse women who I feel like could really carry the company load and could really shoulder the women's division right now.
Yeah,
she could do it. I feel like Alexa Bliss could do it. You know, she's done it in the past. Asuka's done it in the past. And I feel like Bianca Belair could do it in the future.
Yeah, I feel like Bianca Belair really did it, actually.
Yeah.
The horsewomen were on hiatus separately, you know, with Bayley being injured, you know what I'm saying? Becky having her baby, Charlotte being injured on her leave, Sasha being injured on her leave, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All the horsewomen had their time out, and the star that rose above it all was Bianca Belair.
That's definitely true. You know she held the fort down.
She did. She definitely did. Killed it. And she had a feud with almost every one of the horsewomen. She had started off with Bayley, you know what I'm saying, and did her thing with her, did her thing with Sasha Banks, did her thing with Becky Lynch, you know what I'm saying? Becky was the one that pretty much took her out of that run.
Yeah, she hasn't got nose-to-nose with Charlotte Flair yet.
I mean, they've had a couple matches, one in NXT that Matt really hates to this day, and then they had one on SmackDown.
I do freaking hate that match to this day, because there was no reason she had to go back for that win, man. I don't care what you say about it, there's no reason that she had to go back for that one.
Personally, it's a travesty that Bianca never won the NXT Women's title.
Yeah, she should have definitely got that. I think she definitely should have got that. I agree there.
Yeah, so, but yeah, breakout star of the year, Bianca Belair. Not even a question.
That's a good pick, Art, because like I said, they did make a superstar out of her this year. Breakout for me is another Impact wrestler. I'm giving it to Josh Alexander.
Woo! The walking weapon, baby.
I feel like this year, Josh Alexander really came into his own.
Not just came into his Impact own. This man went from tag team star to world champion.
Feel like he really came into his own and Impact. His run with the X Division title was just amazing. One of my favorite X Division title runs in years. I feel like he really brought life back into the X Division. He's not one of those typical X Division wrestlers that you see, you know,
he's
all
like
around.
Kurt Angle at a 205.
Yeah, but he works well with those guys. Yeah. He can make those high flyers look good. They make him look good, and he's just tailor made for that kind of action.
He was great.
Not only was he a
great like X Division wrestler, he did pretty much all of that this year. He did the hardcore matches, he did the X Division matches, he did the Iron Man matches, he did the heavyweight matches, Ultimate X matches.
And out you see, it's like he lived the life of an he lived the ultimate career of an X Division wrestler in 1 year.
In 1 year, yeah. It's like he did AJ Styles'
everything
whole
you
run
could do in one year.
And the thing that blew my mind was when he exercised option C. We hadn't seen that in so long that I had forgot about it.
Yeah,
I had completely forgot that option C was even on the table.
Yeah.
And when Christian Cage came out and I'm like, who's going to challenge him for the title? I'm sure it's going to be Kenny Omega again and they're going to give him the belt back. And Josh Alexander comes out and says option C. I was like, holy crap, I got to see this.
Yeah, I definitely think that they really built Josh Alexander into somebody who could carry the Impact banner for years to come. And I'm just waiting for him to get the title back so he can have that lengthy reign he's meant to have.
When Moose did that, that, like, sucked the wind out of everything.
It broke my heart. It broke your heart. It broke D'Lo Brown's heart. Damn your most.
He was. That was the maddest and most emotional I've ever seen D'Lo in his career.
Now, Matt Stryker was pretty emotional on commentary too, yo. He got something and everything, but it was D'Lo for me, man. It was funny. That was funny.
He killed me. Alexander's family was in the ring.
Yeah.
His wife and kid. And Moose just comes out, cashes in, and spears him. And, oh, man, broke so many hearts. And then he had this feud with Jonah, who's debuting in Impact. And we know that debuters always win. And Josh Alexander pulls it off. This is so great. He has had a breakout year.
Like, Josh Alexander and Jonah definitely had one of the most hard-hitting matches I've seen in quite a while. They just went back and forth, slugging it out.
Oh, no. We're going to talk about that later on, but we're going to talk about that later on.
Whatever match you're thinking of is more hard-hitting than that one.
Way more hard-hitting. Not even a question.
I doubt it.
And we'll talk about that later on.
Yeah, you always try to one-up somebody.
I'm just saying, this match that I'm thinking of, there's no way you're going to disagree. Just going to say, I got to give honorable mentions here to a couple breakout stars like Big E. He broke out into his own. Xavier King Woods, shall I say. I feel like that was a huge moment because that man had been talking about his lifelong dream of winning King of the Ring, and that was a for real moment for me. Big E winning the title was a huge moment for me, and so was Bobby Lashley winning the title.
That I feel was like huge. They kind of slowed down the New Day's run as a stable and really gave each one of them individually their moment to shine. You know, Kofi got his few years ago.
Yeah.
And Big E got his moment this year. And Woods got his moment this year. I'm just glad that they all got their individual spots.
Greatest faction of all time. To shine.
I won't dispute that.
In my opinion, greatest tag team of, well, I don't know about tag team because there are a few that I could put on that board, but definitely the greatest faction of all time.
Yeah, I won't dispute
that. You would have loved this guy that I was driving around one day. He hated everything. He hated the New Day. He hated Charlotte Flair. He just wanted to sit in my car and argue. And I'm like, go ahead. You're getting charged for it. But, yeah, it was, I mean, Big E, the Almighty had an incredible come up this year.
He definitely did.
That man went from running 2020 with the U.S. title to being so dominant as a world champion.
Another one of them stars that they made this year in WWE.
Huge star that was made. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's dope.
It's been quite a year for the black wrestler in WWE. I'm just now realizing that.
Oh no, we dominated the year. Yeah. We dominated this year. We killed this year. We killed this year.
Well, you love to see it.
I do. You know, I always do. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, big ups to them. And I got to give a huge shout out to Mandy Rose, bruh. Can't forget about Mandy Rose. They did everything that I asked them to do with Mandy Rose, and people are so mad at her right now, like she's lackluster.
The thing of it is, see? And I think I've said this. Oh, it's true. I've said this on this show before. That NXT women's title, it's got a legacy behind it, man. That is a workhorse title. And I'm about to die that Mandy Rose could put in the work in the ring. Okay? I've seen her do it. I just wish that they'd let her do it. Please.
They did everything I asked them to do.
Because right now,
they took her out of a team which she was always in, whether it was Sonya Deville, whether it was Dana Brooke, she was always in behind somebody. They took her out of that. They took the blonde hair away because I said there's too many blondes in WWE. They took the blonde hair away. They gave her two lackeys to make her seem like that she was a veteran, which I asked them to do because if you want to make somebody seem like a leader, you have to have somebody follow.
All right.
And they put a single title on her.
Well, let's see how great of a run she's having, because can you say this has been a great run so far?
I really can't say WWE's having a great run so far.
It's NXT 2.0, man.
I can't say that WWE's
having a great run
right now. So it's like being a champion of a company that nobody wants to watch. No matter how good you are.
That's basically what it is in NXT 2.0 right now.
No matter how good you are.
Especially in NXT 2.0.
If nobody's watching you. If a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a noise?
It does. It always does. It's a tree. It has to make a noise if it falls down. I don't care who's there to hear it. It's a tree. Art, it falls and it makes a noise.
Well, tell Mandy Rose she's making noise, but nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. Nobody heard you.
I think that
was that 2.0?
It's not really fair. It's not really fair to see to them, to be honest with you. It's just a bad lot, man. They're getting a bad reputation from these diehard NXT fans, man. Well, we're not with the change.
You cannot create a brand.
We're not with this change.
Everybody fall in love with it and then go, you know what? We're going to change everything.
Screw this place. Let's flip it on its head.
You give people a slinky. They love it. Then you go, you know what? That was a mistake. Here, take this slime.
Take the slime. It's like, wait a minute.
This doesn't go down the steps.
I want the slinky. Give it to the slinky. Oh, man. You can play with the slime for now.
No, we're going to break off pieces of the slinky and then give you a little piece of it and then take it away from you and release it.
Hey, no, we're gonna cut this in half and then you can play with the other half. We'll play one half of it.
Yeah, and then we're going to release it piece by piece.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
Everybody's going to be gone.
Because you know that's...
And all you're going to be left with is this slime.
The word is, Tommaso Ciampa's been having dark matches on the main roster. Him and Pete Dunne.
And there's a couple others.
I've been hearing.
There's a couple others.
Like who else? Black and Gold members in NXT. Who else has been having dark matches on the main roster?
Yeah.
He just got back to NXT. Well, I don't know if he's going to... He might fare better up there. Hopefully, he would fare better up there.
I hope so.
I would hope so. Because LA Knight does have the kind of talent more. That the WWE is looking for.
There's one more.
Who else, Art?
The big guy from the UK.
A watch is coming to NXT 2.0, they say.
I heard he's going to the mains.
I hear he's going to NXT 2.0, which would absolutely suck for him, in my opinion.
Because they're going to feed him to Braun Breaker.
Because I watched New Year's Evil in the six-man tag match he was in. This was one time in his entire run. I wasn't that excited to see a Walter match.
He didn't do anything, barely.
You know, it was him.
And they lost. It was Imperium versus MSK and
MSK and Riddle. Okay, bro. And, I mean, and Riddle. And
yes, Riddle. Because he was the shaman.
I just wasn't because excited to see.
Because the shaman really was supposed to be Jeff Hardy, but they released him.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Jeff Hardy. I just was not excited to see Walter. For the first time in his career, he didn't do much in the ring.
Well, I mean, what do you expect him to do? It's NXT 2.0.
No, which is why I don't want him to be there. That's why I'm hoping that he does not.
Now, he's the for real tree.
If he falls in the forest, he makes a sound. They make sound!
When he chops you, it definitely makes a sound.
It does.
But who's going to hear
it? It doesn't matter who hears it. It makes a sound.
It's going to hurt him, too.
Who cares?
But who's going to care? That it hurts, and he heard it.
Well, it makes a sound, Art. It makes a sound. I don't care who's around here. It makes a sound.
Well, tell Mandy Rose.
That's one of the dumbest riddle things I've ever heard in my life. It's been around for years. Well, when a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? Yes!
Yeah, but no one heard it.
So what? It makes a sound.
So NXT 2.0 might be good, but no one's watching.
Well,
if you're not there to watch it, then how good is it really?
I can't even say that I've been trying to give it a chance lately. Because I'm not even going to lie to you. I haven't. I'm completely turned off of this product, Art. I'm sorry. I can't do NXT 2.0.
I'm trying.
It hurts.
There are some good guys. There are some good people down there.
I'm not saying there isn't. There are a lot of good people.
I can't make them suffer because Vince is pretty much tearing down what we love. Because that's pretty much what he's doing.
I mean, it's not their fault. I get that. And I want to support them because there are a lot of really talented people there.
I just don't know what was so bad about the regular NXT where he had to get rid of it.
It just makes me sad sometimes to watch because this ain't what it used to be, man. I don't like change.
I'm saying nothing. Everything evolves, right? Like, we went from a game show to developmental to an actual, like, NXT was selling out arenas. Now they're back.
I was about to say, but let's evolve up this.
Yeah, now they're going back down.
Let's downgrade. Let's upgrade.
I feel like they're going back down from selling out arenas, and now they're having pay-per-views on regular days.
The thing of it is...
It doesn't feel like... Takeover or any of that anymore. Like, Takeover really, it felt bigger than the WWE.
It felt bigger than most of the pay-per-views that they were on the night before. But the thing of it is I've been hearing that it might be, and if this is a reason I can kind of understand it, it's because that they're not really doing the indie wrestler thing anymore. You know, they're bringing in these newer guys. And they're building them up from the ground up. And what I hear is it's a lot less expensive to run. You know, they don't have to pay out for all these guys with the big names and everything. And, you know, if that's the case, I can kind of understand that.
Yeah, but it's going to... But for one, you got people really into a certain thing.
Yeah, I know. And NXT. It's just 180.
NXT was the place to go. For wrestling.
It was. Most definitely.
And they weren't just indie guys. I mean, they were these guys that were hungry. It was the American Alphas. Yeah. It was the FTRs. It was the, you know, the Oscars. It was the, you know, Ty Dillingers. And the... You know, it was these guys that you were, it was the Baileys, the horsewomen that you were building from the ground up, making people fall in love with them, and then building them to a place where people wanted to watch them at WrestleMania. It wasn't just one of those things where somebody would just have, you know, just come in and you'd be like, here's the product. Like it or hate it.
That's true. I get that. I definitely get that. You know, they built a lot of stars from the ground up there. And you know, that's one of the biggest things that they say with the original NXT that they didn't build people. They just brought in all these big names. And that's not always the case. You know, they did have their homegrown talent. You know, they had the horsewomen. Baron Corbin, he's still around. Roman Reigns, I would probably consider Roman Reigns to be a product of that NXT.
Yep.
Yo, I don't remember him wrestling anywhere else. Big E.
Yeah.
Yo, they had their names. And the reason all those indie guys that came from other places, they wanted to be a part of this, is because it was special, man. Like, this was the place to go for wrestling. That's why people like Johnny Gargano and Ricochet and Kevin Owens and Adam Cole and the rest of the Undisputed Era and Aleister Black. That's why all these guys wanted to be there, because that was the place to go.
NXT was the place to be. And that's the reason why they were bringing in those people, because NXT had this environment that felt like the indies.
Yeah.
That's why the indie guys wanted to be there, because it felt like the indies. It felt like a ECW crowd or a Hammerstein ballroom crowd.
Yeah.
Just going crazy for their favorites. Whether you were a heel or whatever, you had your set of fans. Mm-hmm. Like, what other place could the VOD villains get over?
People love them. They love them down there.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. The VOD villains really had a run. Mm. And that was a terrible gimmick.
I don't know. I kind of liked it.
It was terrible.
I kind of liked it.
It was a carnival strongman. Like a 1932 carnival strongman.
Well, that's what he's supposed to have. He's supposed to rock that kind of mustache. That's a character.
And they really got, like, because people grew a connection with them.
Yeah, that's what they do, man. That's what they did. That's what they did better than almost anybody. They give connections down there in the NXT.
But back to the story at hand, because rest in peace, NXT.
Yeah.
And
one of the biggest losses of 2021.
One of the biggest losses of 2021.
At least for me, anyway.
You hear me? And let's get into, like, some of these matches, man. Let's get into, what was your favorite match this year?
My favorite match this year.
I'll give it two.
I got a couple. Ultimate X from Slammiversary.
Great.
I picked this match because, as I said, I feel like the X Division was back on the up and up this year. And it had some crazy spots in it that I've never seen before.
That connected.
That's like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, Josh Alexander is hanging from the cables. And I can't remember who it was, but he's got somebody.
He got TJP in an ankle lock. And he's got somebody in a rear naked choke.
Yeah.
And he's got somebody in like a chicken wing.
Yeah.
And he's got somebody
on
a Boston Crab.
Some kind of submission chain. All the way down. From all the way up, hanging from the cable, all the way down. Like, that was crazy, man.
One of the most creative spots of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely true.
That was one of the most
Ultimate X.
Of the year. That was great.
My other match is the Lucha Bros and the Young Bucks
in that
steel cage match for the AEW Tag Team title.
Tag Team Wrestling back. That was one of those ones that I felt like, now this is why I love Tag Team Wrestling. Like, that had everything you could ask for.
It definitely did. Like, the Lucha
Bros
and the Young Bucks, they worked so well together. And that match, you just hit from start to finish.
It had everything you wanted. It had the story. It had the history. It had the high flying. It had the ground and pound. It had the hardcore. It had the blood. It had the interference. It had the, like, surprises. It had the high spot from the top of the cage. Like, it had, like, the ultimate payoff, because the Lucha Bros never were tag champs in AEW.
Yeah. They're one of my favorite tag teams of wrestling today.
That probably is the best match of the year.
Yeah.
Hands down is the Lucha Bros against the Young Bucks. That was insane. Honorable mention, Edge, Daniel Bryan, and Roman Reigns, WrestleMania. Dope. Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair.
Absolutely. This year's WrestleMania had quite a few good ones, and those are my two favorite matches. Hell, the main events from both nights.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair.
I lost my voice the first night.
It's just history making, man. I didn't think that I would ever see.
Tears to my eyes.
It brought tears to our eyes, brought tears to their eyes. Just so many people just never thought that we would see this kind of match in our lifetimes, you know? See this kind of progress in our lifetimes, you know, as wrestling fans, as pro wrestlers. You know, I'm pretty sure the wrestlers didn't think that they'd get to live to see it, you know?
I cannot watch that footage.
Not just two women, two African-American women at that. And they just stole the whole show at WrestleMania.
That probably was the best moment of the year for me, period.
Yeah.
Period. In wrestling, that was it.
And then the main event of night two, man, Edge, Daniel Bryan, and Roman Reigns. That triple threat match for the Universal title was just insane. I was emotionally invested in this match.
Because it had everything in the story.
No, I was emotionally invested because it was on my birthday. And 10 years to the day, Edge retires
on
my
birthday.
And I was so sure that things were going to come full circle and he was going to get the Universal title.
10 years to the day that he retired. Seven years that Daniel Bryan had retired or something like that.
And that damn Roman Reigns throws it up.
He cemented himself as the tribal chief that night. He got deemed as the tribal chief that night.
If they were looking to get him healed, they definitely succeeded that night.
Stack him.
Damn it to hell!
Smash him, stack him, pin him.
I was shattered, man. I couldn't believe it. I thought for sure.
I just knew that Roman Reigns was on another level.
He is.
By that time.
He's definitely on. Hell, he's been on another level this whole year.
Well, let's talk about it. Wrestler of the year.
Wrestler of the year.
Male wrestler of the year.
Okay. I'll give this one to Kenny Omega. Again, this was a Kenny Omega because...
I cannot dispute that
Omega
at all.
Omega has been on a tear this year. He held three world titles at one time for three different companies.
This ain't just a run. This is history that we got to see in real time. Like, literal wrestling history. This man was a champion in AAA... This man was champion in AEW. This man was a double champion in Impact.
He was just carrying two belts, Art.
Well, I mean, it felt like a double championship in Impact because they deemed it like it was two championships. Remember when Moose and Rich Swann...
Yeah, but that title was unified.
Boom, unified. So he's the unified champion in Impact.
Right. But anyway, and on top of all that, he was doing it injured. Like, I think I read somewhere in one of the interviews, he had vertigo or something, the ring spinning, and he's got all these other injuries. Like, if he's that good at, like, half health, how good is he when he's full health?
No, this man, that was a history-making run. Definitely and I'm true. Just happy that I got to see it.
Yeah.
Because I really, in the beginning, was, like, hating what was happening. And by the time Don Callis introduced him to win, like, the Impact title, I was all in. I was just all in with it. I'm like, I get it now. This man is making history right now.
I didn't get to see that much of Kenny Omega when he was in New Japan and everything. So
they made it seem like a joke.
I heard the buzz about him. You know, he's one of the best doing it, this, that, and the third. But I didn't really get to see him a lot, so I didn't have my opinion on that. But after getting to see him have the run he had in 2021, I definitely agree. I get it now. This man is one of the best doing it today.
Today. Like... There's only one or two matches left for him to have in the world. And we only need to see him against certain WWE stars. We got to see him against, like, Ricochet. We got to see him against Seth Rollins.
I think he faced Ricochet before.
We got to see him against Seth Rollins. We got to see him against Roman Reigns. Like, that'll be pretty much it. Once he does that, he can retire, and he's pretty much done it all. Like, Kenny Omega had the run of a... This wasn't just the run of a year. This was the run of a lifetime. So, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree. But just to give another's perspective, I'm going to give the wrestler of the year, to Roman Reigns. Because this guy...
He's just on another level.
Everything that they wanted for him that they were shoving in our face 7 years ago finally came to fruition.
Got it now.
It finally came around.
I'm glad that we kind of waited for a little while. You know, we didn't just accept it and what they were trying to do. You know, we gave him time to marinate and to be as good as they were trying to make it seem as he was.
No, they were forcing it. They definitely forced it. But
at that time in his career, I don't feel like he was the big dog, as they say. He wasn't seasoned enough as he is now.
I think what they expected. They expected when he beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania, they expected that to do it. But it had already been sucked out by Brock Lesnar. It had already been done. It was already sucked out. So anyway, this time when he came back, because after he left during the pandemic, he didn't show up at Mania. People kind of figured, you know, this new pandemic thing, he wasn't going to come back. I think him having no audience was the best thing ever. It gave him a chance to develop his character in real time, seeing people's faces without getting worrying about their reaction or whether he was, you know, getting booed, spoken over, or, you know, flustered or anything. It gave him a chance to really develop his mic skills. And now, like, he's the total package that they wanted because he was terrible on the microphone.
I mean, he wasn't that good in the ring back in the day either. And that's what I think that's he what was. That's what I was saying, though. Like,
I think he really was.
He's grown from what he was then to what he is now. And, like, it's so much. And
I think he was actually, like, I think he was doing too much back then. Like, back then, he was showing y'all way more than he does now. Now he kind of walks around and talks a lot, and he doesn't really do a lot in the ring.
He doesn't have to do that's all that the thing. Work.
We know he can, but he doesn't have to.
Well, now we know he can.
No, he developed his character. I was a Roman Reigns fan back when he was in the Shield and stuff. Like, I already knew how good he was. And I told y'all how good he was when he faced John Cena. But once he developed his character, people got it. He started being able to taunt them and talk. People, for some reason, they needed either an antagonist or someone to believe in. And he gave them both at the same time. He gave them the tribal chief to believe in and the tribal chief to hate at the same time.
I feel where you're coming from. You know, he kind of he developed his character. So, you know, I just tied it all together, as they say.
Yeah, that's all he needed was that mic skill and him not having the audience to yell over him and get him flustered and all that. It gave him a chance to develop the calling himself the tribal chief in third person and calling Paul Heyman the wise man. Because we thought when he got Paul Heyman, Paul Heyman was going to do all the talking for him.
Because all he really needed was a good character to, you know, kind of make it all worth the while, you know, with Roman. That's all he really needed.
Exactly.
A good character.
His whole identity was the Shield.
He'd be perfectly right. You know, he needed to move away from the Shield and to really come into himself and to, you know, find something that Roman Reigns does, not the Shield does.
Exactly. His music was the Shield. His gear was still the Shield. He still talked like he was in the Shield.
Right.
But there was no Shield.
Right.
So, boom. I give it to Roman Reigns. But, yeah, Woman Wrestler of the Year. Let's get it. Let's talk about it because both of us have, again, the same standpoint, but I'm going to give someone different. But let's bring out the person that we both agree is the Woman Wrestler of the Year.
That would be one Deonna Purrazzo.
Killer.
Impact Wrestling's Knockout of the Year, 2 years running. We talked about all these legendary runs that Impact's had over this past year. Josh Alexander with the X Division title, Kenny Omega with the world title, and Deonna Purrazzo is definitely no different. She ruled over that Knockouts division with an iron fist this year. And she also cross-streamed over to other companies to defend the Knockouts title and win championships over there in AAA. And she defended at the NWA pay-per-view. And she just won the ROH women's title on Impact this past week. Like, Deonna Purrazzo is on a run of a lifetime.
Again, not a run of a year. This is the run of a lifetime. This is something that's unprecedented.
I can't remember the last time I seen a run like this one.
Fortunately, I can, and it was way back in the 80s with Medusa.
Really?
Alundra Blaze / Medusa went from company to company, like beating their champion. She was like the women's champion, the world, like a for real world women's champion. And that's what Deonna Purrazzo really is, a for real world champion. That's what Kenny Omega is, a real world champion.
Personally, I think that Deonna Purrazzo is the kind of talent that you want to build your division around. In the ring, she's amazing. She looks like a champion. She acts like a champion. She cuts promos like a champion. Like, she is that good.
She is really that good. And this run was no different. This was next level. Men don't even have runs like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give my woman wrestler of the year to one Miss Britt Baker.
She's had a good year too.
Britt Baker has had such a year. This lady, for real, for me, she almost came out of nowhere because she was not like being looked at like that. She had a great, you know, thing, but she was injured. Once she came back off an injury, like, Rio was running the division. And no one could pretty much beat her. And Britt Baker was the one who snatched that title off of her. And
I've always liked Dr. Britt, you know. I remember her work with Big Swole. And I remember her work with Thunder Rosa. And
once she took that title off of Rio, it was to the moon from there. Right. Like, she just got the whole, she just skyrocketed, bro. And then it got so big that she was in, like, those promos of CM Punk's and everybody else's bringing her up. And she's being brought up at other companies. And motherfuckers is talk, like, she's talked about like crazy. Like, motherfuckers saying she replaced MJF as one of the pillars of AEW. Like, it's that real.
Yeah,
Britt Baker has had an amazing year. And not, believe me, I want to give it to Bianca Belair. I want to give it to Charlotte Flair. Everybody knows I love them. But these promotions outside of WWE have been really
killing it. They really are.
They're really killing it. And it's no different when it comes to, because Deonna Purrazzo really is the Women's Wrestler of the Year.
Most definitely.
But Britt Baker has had a hell of a year, dude. A hell of a year.
All right. So, one more category. I want to do Wrestler of the Year, period. Man or woman.
Oh, Kenny Omega.
Who shined brightest?
Kenny Omega had the most amazing year I've ever seen in wrestling.
I want to give it to Roman. I say this because out of all the people we just talked about, Roman Reigns is the only person I could think of to have his title at the beginning of a year
and
still have it at the end of a year. And all through the entire year, never once lose the momentum. You know, you don't hear Roman's getting stale. You don't hear, you know, Roman needs to go ahead and pass it on. You don't hear,
let's have somebody else. More and more right. Every week.
Let's have somebody else be Universal Champion. You don't hear that stuff when you talk about Roman Reigns.
And he stood the test of Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Like, everybody knows there's two complete momentum killers. Brock Lesnar and Goldberg.
That's true.
Once they get a hold of you, your momentum is dead.
I mean, we've seen it so many times.
And Roman took the high road. He beat him the first time and got coronavirus the second time and let Big E take the fall.
Because I was hearing that the word is it was the Brock supposed to take the Universal title off Roman Reigns that night.
That's what I hear.
If he'd been there, then Brock would have probably took his title. It sucks that Big E had to give up his title off the fly and everything. Like, I'm still upset about that. Now, that's bogus. All right. Man.
So what are some moments that you love this year, dude? What are some of your best moments this year? I love the MJF CM Punk promo. That was great.
Yeah, MJF and Bianca, CM Punk are having great promos.
Bianca and Sasha was pretty, like, that was emotional. That was a great moment.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. Moments of the year. Biggest moment of the year probably for me is CM Punk coming back. I think that I said was great. It was just electric, man. We did not think we'd ever see this happen. We thought he was soured on the wrestling business for life. And he just makes his return. And
watching him team with Sting was great.
The roof just came off the building. Oh,
Jungle Boy winning the tag titles. That was pretty cool for me.
The Lucha Bros winning the tag titles. That was a big moment of my year.
Yeah, Josh Alexander. That Deanna was Braga excellent.
Thunder Rosa at Slammiversary this year.
Yeah, that was great.
I was in women's wrestling heaven. Two of my favorites going at it.
That was really good. That was really good. The first ever women's Ultimate X.
Oh, yes. That was a great one. Big up to Tasha Steelz.
Tasha Steelz.
Culture Queen.
Oh, better believe it, baby.
Winner of the first ever Knockouts Ultimate X match.
NWA Power.
We loved it.
That was amazing. That was Empower, so amazing. We were at. Empower. Yeah, NWA Empower. That we went to Empower last year, and that was just, oh, man.
Great.
Getting to see Awesome Kong live, Deanna Purrazzo live, Front Row.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Great. That was great this year. We had so much good stuff. Foosball in our house went ham for a minute.
Yeah. Since we're talking about RIP moments and everything, I'd be amiss to not mention the one that has had the greatest impact on my life this year. That'd be my dog, Rocky.
Yeah, we lost our mascot this year. Rest in peace to my guy.
Still getting over that.
Yeah, you
trying
know.
Trying to.
That was our guy. He was our guardian of the basement. Now everybody think they could come down here, and we don't like it. We miss you, Rock.
It's our spot.
You'll never know how much we miss you being here.
Yeah.
People didn't want to come downstairs. Now everybody feels safe. Nah. We need you.
Still our spot.
I love seeing Sting anytime he comes in. That be doing it for me. Everybody hates how much I love Charlotte Flair. Another WrestleMania in the books where the queen is still on top.
What does she even do at WrestleMania this year? I don't even remember. What does she do?
She beat Rhea Ripley.
Oh, yeah. All right. Wait, did she? Rhea Ripley and Asuka was this year's WrestleMania.
Did she triple threat them or something?
No, I don't even think she was at WrestleMania this year. No, she was not at WrestleMania this year because she showed up on Raw the night after WrestleMania this year. No. Either way,
we got another title in the books.
Don't try.
First off, let me say this. Why do they keep taking title wins away from us? Let's get this straight.
Because they enjoy prolonging our suffering, Art. That's what's happening right now.
Our suffering.
They're trying to draw this out. We all know it's going to happen. We all know she's going to hit 16.
She already passed it.
Well, can they stop taking title reigns away from her? Please.
She's at 17 or 18 at this point. Please. And they bumped it all the way down to 13.
They annoy the hell out of me. Why are they trying to draw this out? You want her to be 16. Let her hit it.
She's the best.
Shut up.
She's the best.
She's not.
She is.
She's not.
We love her here.
We don't.
We do.
We don't.
Sasha Banks had a great return this year.
Always.
That was killer.
History maker.
She came back and made history again. Proving that she's one of the best wrestlers in the world again.
Always does.
And never getting the credit for it again.
Never does.
But I'm giving her credit because the Sons of Legends love Sasha Banks.
We do.
He does.
You just said the Sons of Legends does, Arch. That includes you.
I do. I love Sasha
Banks. Yeah, see?
She is a great wrestler, man. I just wish her.
I'm going to miss her at the Royal Rumble because she's not going to be there. It sucks.
I know, right?
A lot of people are getting injured at the Royal Rumble, taken out of the Royal Rumble. Drew McIntyre is not going to be in the Royal Rumble. Xavier Woods isn't going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Yep. We got a lot of injuries happening lately. And I think WWE, I don't want to say it, but they kind of deserve it.
Don't say that. Nobody deserves to get injured, Art.
No, WWE deserves to have their people taken away from them. Because they're releasing so many people. Now they don't even have a backup plan.
I kind of get what you're saying, but nobody deserves an injury.
No, nobody deserves to get injured. I just can't stand them right now. They're doing such a bad job. So they need to pick it up and do better, because WWE has been my life. And I hate to lose my life. I would hate to, but we've done it several times. I will stop watching. Because right now, AEW is on fire. Impact is killing it. I mean, Impact has opened the forbidden door and won't shut it.
Like, Charlie Haas even walked through that door this week on Impact.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's going to be Josh Alexander and Charlie Haas next week.
Why are they holding my man back from his belt?
Every time it looks like he's going to go for it, somebody else got to come in there and say, up, you got to go through me first.
Why?
And then he goes through him and it's like, all right, fine, but now you got to go through me. I'm like, wait a minute, now where are all you people coming from?
You know what I'm saying?
You don't even go here.
Why are y'all even watching this show right now?
I'm trying to get my belt back. Y'all don't even go here.
Jeez, what are they holding my guy back for?
That's funny, though.
Give him the belt already.
They're trying to give him like a big moment on one of these. I think they're just trying to give him his big moment on one of these pay-per-views. Well, I would hope that's what's happening. Why? They're trying to draw this out.
So they can kill it again like they did before?
No, they're actually going to give it to him this time. I hope that they're trying to draw this out. I hope they can keep it fresh till Slammiversary in July. Maybe not. I don't know. Or Rebellion. Oh, that's another pay-per-view in April. All
keep calling people at their farms, telling them to come out of retirement.
Well, I hear Charlie Haas is actually coming out of retirement after this. Like, I think he gave credit to Impact Wrestling for this too, you know? Like, him working there, he kind of relit the fire in him. You know, now he wants to start taking dates again.
That damn forbidden door.
I love it. All right, well, that's about all I got, Art.
That's all I got, too, man. Tell them where to reach you.
Matt Lindsay on Facebook. Matt Lindsay 677 on Instagram.
Well, you know where to reach me. I ain't even going to say it, but...
Well, just say it. I got to say it. You got to say it. Say it.
R-Dog1 on Instagram. R-Dog3 on Twitter. All right, well, we'll be back next week with more episodes. We'll try to jump into some stuff. Lately, we haven't been watching that much WWE, so you got to excuse us when it comes to it.
Well, you got to just work that in every chance you can.
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm giving them a reason why, you know, it's not as fresh. I did like the Insane thing. Sami Zayn saying, since Johnny Knoxville is going to be a wrestler, he's going to be a jackass. He wanted to take a shopping cart and he's gonna fly down a ramp and he's gonna jump over the ramp and land on a mat on the other side.
Sami Zayn.
Why isn't he champion yet? God, love Sami Zayn the spotlight. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. All
right, so long.